Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life. Well, here's the thing. For the last couple weeks, we have revisited our purpose. I love revisiting our purpose because you know why? It keeps us on purpose. It keeps us on purpose. It keeps us going toward the right direction. And if Thousand Hills is going to make a difference, we've got to have a purpose. I want you to look at our purpose statement real quick if we can. And I want you to say it with me if you can. Some of you guys know this by heart. Some of you guys don't, but just say this with me. Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. That's what we're about. It's not something that I made up. It's something that the Lord gave us, gave me as a pastor, and I passed it on to our church, and God is using that purpose to reach tons of people. Now, here's the thing. A couple weeks ago, we looked at a character named Dietz. Remember Dietz from Lonesome Dove? Remember that guy? Do we have a picture of Dietz? You guys remember this character? Well, in looking at the character of Dietz, here's what I've learned. God has called me to be like Dietz. I'm to be the scout. In the movie Lonesome Dove, Dietz would go ahead of the herd. He would figure out what was going to be ahead of the herd, and then he'd come back until Captain Call and Gus McCrae'd say, okay, in 80 miles, there's going to be water. So we've got to make it 80 more miles, and then we're going to be closer to water. Then he'd come back and say, hey, the enemy is just 4 miles ahead of us. And you say, well, why did he do that? Why would he go ahead of the herd? Listen, here's why he did it. So that the herd could get to its destination, which was the state of Montana, where they were going to open up a cattle ranch. And so he went ahead so that they would be successful at delivering this herd to Montana. Well, again, God has called me as your pastor to be the Dietz of this church, to ride ahead of our herd, to see what God wants us to do, and then to bring it back and say, this is how God wants us to be successful. Now, again, sometimes I love my job. Sometimes I don't like my job. I'm not perfect. Some of you guys think, well, he's perfect. Talk to my wife afterwards. Ask her how many times I've messed up. She will be able to give you a long list of all that. But here's the thing. God has shown us some amazing things in our church. He has provided in ways that I can't even imagine. He's provided the people, he's provided the places, and he's provided all kinds of resources so that we can do what we're doing today. And so again, yeah. So listen, we give God all the glory, but here's the thing. God has called us to build a covered arena. And you may be thinking, well, you know, a covered arena, why don't we just build a church? I mean, can't you see that we're already full? Can't you see that we need more room? Yes, I can see that. But listen, God has called us to build a covered arena so that we can fulfill the purpose statement. So that we can reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we've purchased 30 acres, debt-free. We're doing the land dirt work right now. It's underway, and we will be able to pay for it with cash. And so God, again, he has provided. But here's the thing, and this is what we talked about last week. Last week, we talked about what are the difference makers in a church. And I said this, and you guys need to hear this. The difference maker is not the buildings. Can I get an amen? The difference maker is not the buildings. It's not whether we have, you know, all this fancy stuff, because here's the truth. There are more churches out there right now that have fancy buildings. They have more land. They got all kinds of money. I mean, they got cash. They got all kinds of money, but their churches are empty. And so listen, it's not about necessarily building a building or buying land and all that stuff, even though that's what God has called us to do. I'll tell you what the difference makers are, and they'll be on the screen. Let's look at these difference makers. Number one, we have to love each other. If people walk in our doors and they don't see us loving each other, guess what they're going to do? They're going to walk right back out and go, hey, I don't want to be a part of that church. So we got to love each other. Number two, we've got to love the world. You say, what's that mean? I mean, I thought we're supposed to not love the world. No, listen, we're not to hold on to the things of the world, but we are to love the people of the world, right? And so, and again, number three is this, we got to be culturally relevant. And again, some people will say, but you know, God doesn't need your creativity to get his message across. Listen, I don't believe that. God has made me a creative person so that I can be creative in delivering his message. But here's the truth. If my message is built on my creativity, then it'll fail. But if my creativity is built on his message, then it will succeed. You get it? And so again, it's not about my cleverness or my creativity, but God uses that to be culturally relevant to our culture. Paul said, I will become all things to all people so that I might win as many as I can. And that's what we're going to do. We'll never change the message, but we will always change the method so we can reach more people. And so here's the thing. If we don't get those four things right, then it doesn't matter what we build. It doesn't matter if we build the fanciest barn in the world. It doesn't matter if we don't have the difference makers. Well, today, we're going to turn the table, and I'm going to show you, hopefully, be able to show you what God has called us to build. Some of you may be thinking, well, Bo, you've asked us to give, and you're going to ask us to give toward this covered arena, and I am. That's what we're going to kind of talk about today. And you may be thinking, well, what are we building? Some of you guys are like, I know we're building a covered arena, but I don't even know what that looks like. Can you show us what it looks like? Well, today I'm going to do that. Now, here's the thing. I want to introduce the arena building team. If you're an arena building team, Mike, where's Mike at? Mike's over here. If you can see Mike, Mark Messenger, I think he's at a rodeo. Is David Connor here today? No, David's not here. And Justin Howard, I don't know if he's here today or not. Is Justin here? Anyways, we got four guys and myself that are on our arena building team. And here's what we do when we meet. We pray. We pray. We pray before we ever do any of it. And we pray at the end of everything that we do. And we've adopted a verse that I try to recite at every meeting. And this is the verse, Philippians 4:6, if you want to show it up on the screen. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, as a preacher, I want to get anxious. Anybody want to get anxious? Anybody want this covered arena built tomorrow? I do. But here's the thing. I get anxious. And so you know what I have to do? I have to remind myself. And as a team, we have to remind ourselves that we're not supposed to get anxious, but we're supposed to go to the Lord in prayer and say, in every situation, with every decision, we go to him in prayer and we do it with thanksgiving. Did you see that part? It says, bring your prayer and your petition with thanksgiving. And that's the key to that. And I love that part. Well, before I show you the plans for our church, I want you to do something in your mind and in your head. I want you to think about the church that you grew up in, okay? Get that in your mind. I don't know if the carpet smells like vomit. I don't know what it smells like. But I remember all kinds of stuff. I remember the smell of the old school baptistry, the kids would go up there and play and get in trouble. Maybe that was just me. I remember, the ties, I remember the suits, I remember all that stuff. And again, I'm not knocking, I'm just saying that's what I grew up in. I remember all of that stuff. I remember the good stuff, I remember the bad stuff, I remember all of that, and I remember enjoying it. I remember God using it in my life so that I could become the man that I am today. But here's the thing, here's what I want you to do with the thoughts of your older church. I want you to throw them out of your mind. Because here's the deal. Our church will never look like your old church. And can we get some clapping on that? Listen, and you may be thinking, dang it, I'm in the wrong place. You may be in the wrong place, and that's okay. Maybe you need to go somewhere else. We love you, and we support you in that. But here's the thing. Our church will never look like the steeples and the stained glass that maybe some of you and I grew up in. It's never going to look like that. And here's the reason why, because we're here to reach the unchurched. You know why when we have meetings, we don't look at what we're building. We don't look at the vision that we have through the eyes of church people. Because sometimes, and not in every church, but sometimes mediocrity is what people expect in church. And that's what church people expect sometimes. They'll accept boring preaching. They'll accept sorry music. They'll accept a sorry nursery that smells like poo. They'll accept all kinds of nastiness in a church. And that's what church people are, some of them, are used to. Now, here's the thing. We don't look at it through the eyes of the church person. We look at it through the eyes of the unchurched person. And we say, how can we reach them? How can we build something that's going to attract them, not to us, but to attract them to Christ? What front door can we open so that people will be able to walk through our doors and accept and know that Jesus Christ is acceptable and accessible to them? You know what we've tried to do? We've tried to tear down religious barriers that people feel like they have to jump through to be able to come to church. And so as we build this building, and you think, why are we building a covered arena? Again, I'll explain this, but it's going to be the front door to our church. And so I want us to look at these plans together. If you'll show that first slide up there. We had an architect kind of create these for us, and so this is going to be, sooner or later, the front of our church. This area right here that you can kind of see in the front, we may have a neon sign above there. I kind of like neon. Can I get a witness? But we may have a neon sign above there. We may have all kinds of neat stuff, but that area right there is going to be the front door to the offices. And we'll have little offices in that little stucco area. It's going to have a Southwest kind of a cowboy look. But that's the front. And as you can see in the back, go to the next one. And behind the stucco is going to be actually a worship barn, and it's going to be expandable. And I've got my little fancy deal here. See, this is the barn right here, and it's going to be expandable. This barn right here is going to be able to seat, when we build it, it's going to be able to seat 600 people, okay? And then when we add on, as we grow, as the Lord blesses us, you just add another truss out to this dirt area, and you just continue to grow. And you can do that on both sides of that barn. Does that make sense? And so, again, we're not landlocked. We're not building stupid. We're building smart. And so that's going to be the worship barn. This barn right here is going to be a multi-purpose barn. It's not going to be a barn where we have seats in there that are pews and all that. We're going to be able to push everything out of that barn and be able to use it for a stock show. We're going to be able to use it for a horse sale. We're going to be able to use it for all the things that we need. We're going to be able to ride a tractor in there. I'm going to ride my horse in there. My horse is going to poop in there. I mean, it's going to be a multi-purpose barn. We are not going to build a barn that we only use 1 hour a week. We're just not going to do it. So we're going to build that barn so that we can use it 6-7 days a week, okay? So that's the barn. Now keep going to the next picture, please. Again, barn, worship barn here. On the backside here, and we've changed this, there's going to be actually a building in between here. You're not going to have this covered breezeway right here. There's going to be a building in between there, and I'll show that to you in a little bit later. This is going to be our covered arena right here. And so you can see that right there. Keep going. This is kind of, again, the backside here. We'll have the stock pins back here. The announcer stand will be right there, kind of in the middle, and all that fun stuff. We'll have bleachers on this side as well as this side. Okay, keep going. This will be what that worship barn looks like. Again, it's just, I know I look skinny in there, but I'm working on it, okay? But this is just kind of a rendering. It'll probably look totally different than that, so don't hold us to that, okay? But that's kind of the idea, and we'll be able to move all those chairs out of the way, even probably be able to move the stage out of the way and have just an open barn right there. All right, keep going. All right, this is the covered arena. This side right here is where you'll see this next building that we're going to explain. And then the worship barn, again, is right over here. So you got bleachers right here. This is a covered. This is the arena, obviously. This is an announcer stand. You've got all kinds of chutes over here. Bucking chutes will kind of probably be in this area as well. Keep going. All right, again, this is just another picture of this would be the west side, this would be the north side, and you'll have bleachers right here as well. The front door of our church. Keep going. All right, here's, again, and this has kind of changed in this area, but you got the worship barn right here, you got future expansion, you got the offices right here. This area right here is going to be totally different, and again, we'll get to that in just a second. Bleachers again, this is the arena, the same thing, rope and chutes right over here. All right, keep going. All right, now this is kind of a smaller rendering, but I want you to check this out. This right here is 8th Street, Okay? 8th Street. This is our entryway into our church right here. And this will kind of have a circle drop off. You got the offices right there. And then again, you got the worship barn right here. You got another drop off right here, and you can't really see it because it's kind of small, but that's a children's building right there, and that's a youth building right there, and there's drop offs where you can drop the kids off at those things. This little building right in here, and you can't really see it, but it's going to be what we call our saddle house. In this area right here, you're going to have a kitchen. In this area right here, you're going to have bathrooms. That kitchen and those bathrooms, it will service this worship barn, and it'll service the covered arena. So when we build that kitchen, it'll have a concession on this side that services that, and then it'll have a bar that's open to the worship barn. So you're utilizing the kitchen for two different areas. The same way with the bathrooms. The bathrooms are going to be right here, and they're going to be enough bathrooms to service the arena and the worship barn. So again, this is all going to be one building. It'll probably be 120 this way and 80 this way. And so again, this building right here, one of the ideas that we had was to build it as a covered breezeway, and we wanted it to be open on the sides. Well, someone, I believe it was Mark, had a great idea. Instead of just building it as a covered breezeway where we can't enclose that, we will enclose it, but on each side, on the north side and the south side, and even on the arena side, we're going to put roll-up doors. They're going to be the big type roll-up doors that you can get a tractor into. And they're going to be a fancy roll-up door. They'll probably have the barn wood on them so that when you want to have those doors down, you can put the barn doors down and you could have a wedding or whatever else you want, like a shower. You could have all kinds of stuff in here. This building right here is actually probably going to seat around 250 people. And that gives us room, again, for the kitchen and bathrooms. It gives us room to house our chuck wagon or, you know, put some, you know, sofas in there. This building right here, to me, is going to be the most important building on the whole property right there. Because here's the why. People can come in here, they can have their coffee on Sunday morning, they can come in here on, again, Wednesdays or Sundays or whatever, on Mondays, and they can come in here and have just a time of fellowship. One of the things that's missing in our church right now, and you guys know this, when you walk out of here, there's no place to really talk, right? I mean, when I walk out of here, I got to go like this, and excuse me, and you can't really talk. And so, again, this little saddle house area right here is going to be the place where everybody comes in together. You'll be able to fellowship in there. We'll be able to have concerts or, you know, just all kinds of small group, you know, type stuff right in that building right there. And so we love that idea of that building. Again, it won't be necessarily connected to the arena because of insurance, but it'll be overlapped with another kind of a breezeway type deal. All these out here are parking spots. That's 1,600 parking spots. This building right here, that's with the expansion. It'll be able to seat 1,600 people. That's when we expand, 600 to begin with, and then be able to expand to 1,600. Again, the arena, the cover right now, and it'll probably change, is 200 by 400. So it's a big cover. All this back here, you can see, will be trailer parking. There'll be an entrance right here and then an exit right here, but the trailers will all come back here. The reason for that is we want to have all the animals back here and then all the people parked over here. So it kind of keeps them separated from, you know, maybe getting hurt or whatever. This is obviously a detention pond. This would be a detention pond, so all that water can roll right into these corners, okay? So that's kind of the makeup of the layout, okay? Now, I know you guys will probably have questions, and feel free to call me. Feel free to call Mike or, you know, any of the other guys on the arena building committee, the arena building team. But I know you guys wanted to see that, and I wanted to show that to you because that's the future. And here's the cool thing about all that. A lot of it, the architectural work was donated. I think it was like $7,000 donated. The closing cost, when we closed, yeah. The closing cost on all of our, when we purchased that property, donated. Again, I can't tell you, you know, in the past few, we've already, there's so much stuff that I could share about what God's done so far, even on the land. The dirt work came in at like $60,000 below what it should be. And the guy that's doing the dirt work, Dustin Donnelly, he actually is writing a bunch of it off. And so you think, well, you know, again, God's not working. No, God's working. God's providing, and we've just got to do what he's asked us to do. Here's the thing. I believe, now listen, I believe that God has provided for us so far and will continue to provide for us if we do one thing. And I mentioned it in our first message, but if we do this one thing, then I believe that we will not fail and we will succeed at building what God is wanting us to build. You know what that one thing is? Obey. Obey. And you say, well, what's that mean? And look, I have three kids. If my kids obey, guess what they get? They get freedom. If they don't obey, guess what they get? They don't get freedom. They get to go to their room. If I have a horse and that horse responds to my cues, if he does what I say to do, then guess what he gets? He gets release. He gets to enjoy his life. He gets water. He gets food. He gets all those things if he's obedient. And you say, well, so it's the same way with our relationship with God. If we will obey God, then God will bless us. Obedience is the key to receiving God's blessing and his provision. If I will obey God in leading this church, then God will use me and this church. If you will obey God as a member of this church, then God will bless this church and bless you. That's just what he does. And Jesus tells us, and I want to look at this scripture real quick. Jesus tells us what it's like when we don't obey and what it's like when we do. Look at this scripture. It says in Luke chapter 6, it says in verses 46 through 49, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like." Listen to this. "They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck and hit that house, but it could not be shaken." It didn't shake it because it was well built. "But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Do you see what it's saying there? I mean, if we will obey, guess what? If we'll obey personally, if we'll obey as a church, guess what'll happen? God will take care of us. He will provide for us. He will bless our lives. The truth is, listening to God and obeying his word is the key to our personal walk and the key to building a church. It's all about obedience. And you may be thinking, well, okay, what is God asking us to do? What is he asking us to do? How are we to obey? I'm going to give you three things and I'm done. You ready? You going to write these down? Everybody got a card, pen? You got a card and a pen? Number one is this. I believe number one, God is asking us to pray. Here's the thing. If we are going to do something that we're incapable of doing that's not natural for us, then we have to ask God because he has supernatural power. Amen? He does. And so you say, well, Bo, what is he asking me to give? What is he asking me to do? He's asking you to pray. Just like our team, when we get together as a team, we pray that God would give us wisdom. We use that scripture, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We have to pray. And again, I don't know if you pray for our church, but I hope that you do. Every day that you wake up, every night that you go to bed, I hope that you'll lift up our church because God wants to bless it. He is blessing it, and he will continue to bless it if we will ask him. And so we have to pray. Number two is this. We have to sweat. How many of you guys like to sweat? Anybody? Come on now, how many of you guys like to sweat? Tracy, come on. I just pointed her out. She's the trainer at the gym. She works my butt off, you know? You know what my goal is? And I don't know why I'm sharing this. My goal, I go to the gym now, by the way. I'm a sis, okay? No, I'm not. Men that go to the gym are tough. And I try to be tough. But here's my goal. You know what my goal is? I want my chest to be bigger than my stomach. So you know what I have to do when I go to the gym? I go to the aerobics class with all the women. Yeah, because I get to lose all that weight. You know what I do when I go there? I wear a hoodie. And a lot of people think I'm a creeper. You know, I walk in there and they're like, who's the hoodlum? And I'm like, I'm the preacher, you know? And they're like, holy crap, I'm not going to his church. But I walk in there and they all look at me like I'm a dork. And I go, you know, because I have this hoodie on, they're like, you're a dork. And I, you know, again, I thought we was there to sweat. And they're like, no, we're here to run and do all this. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to sweat. Here's the thing. We have to sweat if we're going to get anything accomplished. If I'm going to lose weight, if I'm going to get in shape, I have to do some sweating. You know, one of the things that we love in our church, it's one word, and it's called grit. One word called grit. You know what that means? It means that we're gutsy. It means that we have courage. It means that we're hardworking. We get our hands dirty. We do what God has called us to do, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. We trudge through it. We do it because we want to glorify God. And so you listen to this. If we're going to do this, we have to sweat. It's not easy. It's not fun sometimes, but we got to sweat for the Lord. You know why? Because Jesus Christ bled for me. You say, I don't want to sweat. Listen, Jesus Christ bled on a cross so that you can have life, so that you can have not just life on earth, but you can have life in heaven. And all he's asking us to do is sweat. And so listen, we've got to sweat for him. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know what that verse is saying? Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whether it's building a business, whether it's raising a family, whether it's building a covered arena, we are called to do it for the glory of God, and we're called to sweat. And you say, Bo, how can I sweat for this church? Well, I'm glad you asked. How can I sweat for this church? Here's number one right now for me. You can serve on a team. I don't know if you realize or not, but we have teams. They come in about on Saturdays and they set all this stuff up. We have teams that come in and they greet you at the door. We have horseback teams. We got cooking teams. We got vittles teams. We got, you know, rodeo teams, arena teams. We got all these teams. And we need people to come alongside of us and sweat with us so that we can serve our Lord. You say, what can I do? You can get on a team. You say, I don't know what teams you've got. Get on our website, thousandhillsranchchurch.com, look at the teams, and then you pray about it, and you need to join a team. That's how you can do it. You know how else you can do it? You can show up at work days. When we get on our Facebook or we send you an email saying we're building fence, you need to show up. You say, I don't know how to build fence. Well, just come. We'll teach you. I'll hand you my gloves. You say, well, I don't know of any needs. Look around. Ask me. I'll share all the needs you can handle. Whether it's picking up trash, whether it's mowing, whether it's welding the arena, when we get ready to build the arena, you need to be able to do whatever God wants you to do. But here's one of the things, and this is where we're going to talk about number three. Number three is this. Number three is money. We need to pray, we need to sweat, and we've got to give our money. And I don't know about you, but you know, when you talk about money in church, everybody gets all upset and everybody's like, you're just a preacher like every other preacher. Can I just share with you? I think this is maybe my second sermon on money in 3 years. And again, because we desire to reach people and it's not about money, we have not passed an offering plate for 3 years. And you know what God has done in spite of us not passing an offering plate? He's provided $200,000 the first year, $250,000 the second year, and up to date, he's provided $300,000 for this church. And so listen, you know one of the greatest ways that you can sweat for the Lord? Here's what you can do. You can go to work every day at your job and you can earn money and give a portion to this church. Some of you guys are like, I can't serve the church. I don't have time. Listen, just go to work. Get a job if you don't have one. Go to work, sweat there in an effort to glorify God and to be able to give a portion to this church. Now, here's the thing. You know, God doesn't need your money. I mean, think about it. God is the creator of the world. He doesn't need your money. I don't need your money. Again, a lot of you are like, the preacher just wants a new house. I mean, the preacher just wants a new truck. Maybe someday. But I don't need it. You know why I don't need it? Here, let me just share this truth with you. You know why I don't worry about whether you give or not? Here's why I don't worry about it. Because I give. God says if I will give, then he will take care of my needs whether you give or not. I tell this to people every time I do premarital counseling. I say, if you'll give a portion to the church, you won't even be able to imagine how God takes care of you. He just does it. You know, I give because I believe that God has called me to give. And if you give or not, God's going to take care of me. My kids are clothed. I mean, I got a house. I got horses. I got everything that I could ever want in life. You know why? Because I give to the Lord. You say, Bo, I give to the Lord and I don't get squat. Maybe you need to make better decisions. Maybe you need to pray for wisdom so that you can make those decisions. Listen, our church isn't about money. It's about Christ. It's about loving people so that they can come to know Christ. And you say, well, okay, you know, Bo, so, okay, that's the truth about that. Now, here's the thing. There are two principles when it comes to money. And I want to explain these real quick because I want you to get them and we're done. Number one is tithing. Some of you guys, how many of you guys have ever heard that word before? Anybody ever heard that word? Okay, tithing. You say, well, Bo, what is tithing? Here's what tithing is. And again, it's a biblical principle. It's not Bo verse one, you know, chapter one. It's a biblical principle and I'll explain it. Tithing is the principle of giving back a portion of what God has already given you to the church. And you say, why? Let me read a scripture to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to this. It says, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Do you know what that's saying right there? It's saying if you'll bring the tithes to the Lord, if you'll tithe of what God has already given you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to provide for you. Here, and let me just say this. I'm not a TV evangelist. I'm not a TV preacher. Not of them. All of them are bad. But a lot of people say, if you'll give $100 to our church, then you'll get $100,000 in return. I've tried it and it doesn't work. Listen, it's not a, hey, you claim it and you get it. It's not a, hey, if I just give this, then I'm going to get rich. No, you're going to be very disappointed. Here's what God does for me, and this is just what he does for me. When I give a portion back, listen, I'm not rich, but you know what he does? Instead of the transmission going out, and sometimes transmissions go out, guess what it is? It's a spark plug. Instead of the whole air conditioning unit going out, it's just a fuse. You say, what do you mean? I mean that God takes care of my needs and he provides for me when I give a portion back to him. When I'm stingy with my money, guess what he does? The transmission goes out. And I'm not saying that because if your transmission goes out on the way home, that was just God's will for your life. I mean, you know, sometimes it's not promising, even in that scripture, it's not promising that your crops, you know, will survive every year. It's not promising that none of your calves will die. Listen, what he's promising and what he's saying is he will ultimately provide for those that obey him. That's what it's saying. And you may be thinking, well, how do I know how much to give? You know what? And a lot of churches say this, but it's just not true. In the Old Testament, There was there's a story in the Old Testament where the people were commanded to give a tenth of their crops. Now, again, you will not find that in the New Testament, which is, again, in the Bible. You will not find that in the New Testament. So a lot of people are thinking, you got to give 10% or you're a sinner. No. Here's the concept. The concept is this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Do you see what that's saying? It's the whole idea, and it's a biblical principle that you reap what you sow. You see that part where it says, decide in your own heart what you should give? Listen, I'm not going to stand up before you and say, hey, give 10%. That's what we need. That's what you got to give. No, listen, maybe you pray about it and God says you need to give 7%. Maybe he says you need to give 27%. I don't know what he's going to say to you, but you need to look at the other concepts here. He says, give generously and you will reap generously. Give sparingly and you will reap sparingly. And the other word here is being a cheerful giver. So give generously and be cheerful about it. How many of you guys are not real cheerful about giving your money away? It's okay. Okay, a bunch of liars. I mean, some of you guys are tightwads. You squeak when you walk. Listen, I don't. Can I just tell you what Heather and I do? And again, I'm not sharing this with you so that you can put me on a pedestal. One of the best things that I try to do is I try to relate to you. I try to never do anything that I'm not going to do myself. You know what Heather and I do? Because we believe that God blesses those who are generous to his church. We give off our gross. And you say, well, does that mean I have to do it? Absolutely not. You don't have to do that. But here's what we've learned. If we're generous to God, he's generous to us. And so when that check comes and it provides for our needs, we give off our gross. And again, I'm not saying you have to do that. Don't take that wrong. But listen, we just know that God will bless us generously. You know what the other principle is? We give to God first. We give to him first. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it says this, honor God with your wealth. And again, wealth is relative because compared to the most of the world, all of us are wealthy. Did you catch that? You say, I'm not wealthy. Yes, you are. If you have a car, you're wealthy. But it says, honor God with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Some of you guys like that part, the new wine part. But here's, you know what that's saying? It's saying, bring the first fruits to the Lord. You know the first check that Heather and I write? You know what it is? It's our tithe. You know, when the kids are sick and we've got bills to pay and we're just like you and we got hospital bills, guess what check we write first still? It's the tithe check. And can I just tell you, I'm not, you know, boasting about that. That's just something that, again, God has called us to do. It's called all of us to do. And he desires to bless us if we will obey him first. And again, it's not about the money. It's not about the amount. You just need to decide what God wants you to give and give it. So that's tithing. Here's the last thing, offering. There's a difference. You got tithing and then you got an offering. Tithing again is what God, that principle of giving back a portion. An offering is above and beyond your tithe. Does that make sense? And so listen, I'll just give you an example of what we do. We tithe our check. We give off our gross. We give it to the Lord. And then whatever extra, you know, let's say I go out and I day work or I do something extra. Guess what I do? I give it toward the arena fund. Giving toward the covered arena fund is an offering. It's above and beyond your tithe. Here's why. If you don't tithe, if I don't tithe, then we can't pay the bills. So if you maybe think, well, I'll just give my tithes to the arena fund, then we can't pay the bills. So you got to give your tithe, and then above and beyond that, you say, I want to give to the arena fund. or I want to give this way. And again, Heather and I's commitment is to give generously. I'll tell you what we've done. You don't have to do this, okay? This isn't a guilt trip. You know what we did just the other day? We got rid of Dish Network. Yeah. I call it, and again, I love TV. That's my problem. My problem is I love it so much that I can sit in front of it all day long. You know, but there's, you know what I call television? Hellvision. You know why? Because there's a lot of hell on it. And again, am I saying get rid of your TV and be an Amish person? No. Am I saying go to the, you know, live in a mosque and be a pope? No. And am I saying you got to get rid of your Dish Network? No. But here's what God asked us to do. He asked us to get rid of our Dish Network. Cost $50 a month or whatever you pay. I don't know what you pay. $50 a month. And we got rid of it. And guess what? I think our biggest concern was our kids weren't going to have anything to do. But here's what we did. We sat our kids down and we said, guess what, kids? We're getting rid of Dish Network. And then we said, you know why? Because we want to give generously to our church. You know what my daughter said? That's cool, Dad. My kids have never complained. We got rid of it, I think, a month ago. My kids have never complained once about not having TV. You know what that, I mean, I'm getting to teach my kids that we get to sacrifice for a little while, and then God blesses us. You know what else we did? We sold our chickens. We actually didn't sell them. We gave them away. The chicken food, I don't like paying chicken food just to watch them crap on my porch. So I was feeding those stinking chickens to get one egg, and then they crap on my porch. I guarantee you they'll walk 2 miles to crap on somebody's porch. We got rid of our chickens. I sold a tractor so that we could get in a better position to give toward this church. We got a minivan. Holy crap. And by the way, that was God telling us to do that. I didn't have a choice. God says, you're getting a minivan. We got a minivan, and so I've left the cool club. But again, you say, well, you know, Bo, am I supposed to do all that? Am I supposed to sell my brand new truck and get a minivan? Yes. Make sure it's a Dodge, though. But here's the thing. I'm not trying to tell you that you got to, you know, do all that stuff. But listen, if I will sacrifice, and here's the truth about it. Listen to this. Whatever I gave up isn't a sacrifice. I gave up TV. You know what? Some people give up their kids. Some people, you know, to give them a better life, they move. They move over all the way across the ocean. That's sacrifice. Me giving up Dish Network, that's stupidity. I mean, that's dumb to think that that's sacrifice. But listen, whatever God tells you to sacrifice, the key word is be obedient. If he says, I want you to, you know, move and get into, I don't know what he's telling you, but you just need to be obedient. And again, I'm never going to ask you to do what I don't do myself. And so I want you to know that Heather and I, again, we're committed to give to this church generously. Now, here's the thing. Many of you guys got a handout. You got your handout right here. Everybody got a handout. In this handout, you're going to be able to see all the pictures of everything, and it's going to say, what can you give? You can give cash, checks, again, land, equipment, crops, calves, you know, stocks, all that stuff. How can you give? You can give online on our website. It's all secure. You can give in the mail. You can give in the whiskey barrel right outside. And here's the thing. We have an arena fund envelope. It says arena fund at the top, and then you have your regular tithe envelope. And so those are ways that you can give. Now, here's what we're going to ask you to do. If I can get the Hattie team to go ahead and go out and get by the doors. As you leave today, you're going to get a card. Now, what this is this a card that you're going to make a commitment, not to me, but to the Lord, on how much that he is going to ask you to give. Now, here's the thing. I don't know how God's going to use this. You know, this is one way that he's asked us to try to get people to give, and this is why we're doing it. But on this right here, it says, if you want to invest in an unchurched Western culture by giving to the Covered Arena Fund, and you fill this out, and then you just write on there what you desire to give. I will give this much weekly for 2 years, or I'll give this much annually for 2 years. I'll give this much monthly for 2 years. And then you write the total of what you're going to give over the 2 years. In the next 2 years, it's our desire, we've set a goal of $300,000 toward the arena fund. And the only way that we're going to actually accomplish that is, again, if I'm obedient and if you're obedient. So here's what we're going to do. As you walk out today, you're going to get one of these cards. I want you to take it home. I want you to pray over it as a family. And then on October the 13th, we're going to bring these cards back and you're going to be able to just put them in a bucket and we're going to make some commitments to the Lord on how much we're going to give. All of us are going to give. Okay? That's, again, you say, well, why? It's for the unchurched. Not for me. Not necessarily even for you. It's so that we can reach more people. Okay? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you guys are, again, you're here and you're thinking, wow, another preacher asking for money. No, I hope that you won't walk away thinking that. I hope that you'll come back and you'll get to hear, again, the truth behind what we're doing. But here's what I want you to do. If you know Christ personally, I want you to just pray this in your heart. Would you just pray that God would bless this church? Ask him to bless it with the right people. Ask him to bless it, you know, financially, that God would provide the money that we need. Ask him to bless it, you know, with his spirit, that his spirit would fill this barn and the future barns and the future arena. That he would just fill it with his spirit, and then when people walk in there, they would see, man, there's something different about this place. Now, here's the second part of the prayer. I want you to pray and say, God, how do you want to use me to be a blessing and make a difference in this church? Let me say that again. How do you, God, want to use me to be a blessing and make a difference in this church for eternity? That's the question that only you can answer. And God will show you. If you desire to really truly give to him, he will show you what it is that he wants you to give. And again, it may not just be money. That may just be one part of it. You may need to give your time. You may need to give your talent. You may need to give your resources. Maybe you've got an extra car and you say, Bo, whoever needs it to go to the city, whatever. Whatever you got, God wants to use it. You know why? Because he gave it to you in the first place. And so maybe you just need to pray that prayer. God, how do you want to use me? What do you want me to give so that we can fulfill the purpose that you've called us to? Maybe you're here today and you're like, wow, what just happened? Can I just explain to you the reason that we do what we do is because we want to honor Jesus. And if you don't know this Jesus, if you've never accepted him into your life, listen, we want to be able to share that love with you. Here's how we do that. If you got one of those cards, you can fill it out. You say, I got more questions about knowing Christ. I got more questions about this church. Fill it out, put it in one of these yellow buckets, and then we will contact you. Maybe you're going through a hard time and you need prayer. Write it down and we will pray for you. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you made a decision today and you want us to know about it. Write it down, put it in a yellow bucket, and we will contact you. Here's how else you can do it. Just text your name to the number on the screen as you leave and we will contact you. That's all you got to do. You don't have to put an explanation. Just text your name and we will call you later. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. And as you leave today, please take one of those commitment cards, please pray over it, and please give in obedience to whatever God's asked you to give. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for how you blessed my life. I thank you for how you've already blessed this church. I thank you for how you've blessed the individuals that are obedient to you. And I pray that you would help us to continue to be obedient to you. There may be somebody in here that is struggling financially. Lord, help us to meet their need through the giving of this church. There may be somebody in this community that needs served, that needs, you know, assistance. Give us your resources, Lord, so that we can serve them. It's all yours anyways. And so, Lord, we thank you for blessing us. And I thank you for each person in this room that represents Thousand Hills Ranch Church. And may they know that they're making a difference in eternity, not just in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would provide for us, that you would provide people, that you would provide your spirit, that you would provide the finances, that you would provide everything that we need to fulfill your purpose for your glory. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, ThousandHillsRanchChurch@yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.